Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Taos areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the scriptures. You are invited to join us in person this morning for worship. 5726 Cedar Lake Road is our address. We have worship at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then again Wednesday evenings, 7 p.m., all of these services are broadcast live on Facebook, and you are welcome to join us there as well. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me. 989-305-2721 is my number, or you can send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. As we move through the Gospel of Matthew, and specifically Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, I've been summarizing large parts of his sermon, trying to help us keep on track of understanding that we humans simply don't do things in the way in which God does things, which means frequently that we get it wrong. And hopefully, as a Christian, we are seeking to do things the way God does, the right way, instead of the way that the world does things, which is the wrong way. This is our challenge every day. Today we reached what is often called the Lord's Prayer or the Our Father. Turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who sees in secret. He will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So prayer is a real struggle for people. Now, religious experts teach all sorts of different things about prayer, and some that conflict with one another. Scientists, they've tried to measure prayer, trying to figure out what it does, and even if it actually works. Psychologists, likewise, they've tried to figure out if it works, and on goes the list about prayer. Let me tell you a few things that I know about prayer. First, Jesus teaches us to do it. Second, Jesus did it. Therefore, prayer works. Now, I know that's kind of simplistic for sure, but what do you want me to tell you? Again, scientists, they've tried to measure prayer, but they went with the wrong model. They forgot to check the scriptures first and instead measured prayer in this way. People would ask healing for somebody, and were they healed? And that was their question. And that was it. That's a ridiculous study. If you measure prayer in this way, you might as well declare that idols are real, for many people pray to idols, and those prayers are sometimes answered, but not always, right? Which is the same for many people who pray to the real God. Sometimes those prayers are answered, but not always. And if you know the scripture, you know that even that statement is filled with errors, because the truth is that God always hears prayers, and He always answers prayers. But how He answers those prayers is the issue. And we have the hardest time with that fact. How God answers prayer is the dogged problem for anyone who doesn't know the scriptures well. And this is the struggle that I hear over and over again with those who don't believe in God, and also with those who do believe in God. In what way will God respond to my request? Even that isn't enough. Imagine, if you will, that I decided to call every phone in town and ask for $1 million. And of those who actually answered their phones, I would surmise that no one would actually give me $1 million. Now, that doesn't mean that phones don't work. It means that I'm asking for the wrong thing. What if I only asked for $10? Now, again, just because someone says yes and another person says no doesn't mean that the phone doesn't work. Let us say that I called everyone in town just to say hello to the answerer. Again, whether someone answers the phone or not doesn't mean that the phone does or doesn't work. So how do I know if the phone works? Am I using it as the Creator intended for the phone to be used? That's the question. So we turn the phone on, we open the app, we dial the number. Now, if I have service, the phone should try to connect to the number that I dial if that number is a valid number. And the phone on the other end of the call may be out of power or turned off or ignored by the owner, or the call may be forwarded, or the owner may answer the phone. There's so many options concerning phones. But see, with God, He tells us that He wants us to pray. In fact, Christians, God commands that the men pray. That's one of our main jobs, Christian men. In 1 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul writes this, "I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling." But in truth, the scriptures are filled with information about prayer, and I'm not going to cover all of them here, but you can read the book of James in chapter 4 and get some good information there. I want to look here at what Jesus says about prayer. And firstly, we need to know that prayer isn't about show. Sadly, many people still to this day make prayer a show. It isn't. When we do this, prayer simply isn't going to work. Jesus says they've received their reward in full. It would be like trying to get that phone to work as a hammer and a nail. It just isn't going to work properly. In fact, it's going to ruin your phone, isn't it? So before we even open our mouths to pray, we need to understand this truth. Prayer isn't for show. Those scientific studies, they're never going to work because God is not a dog and pony show. Additionally, as Jesus goes on, prayer isn't just to chant, as some people teach. It isn't about repetitive sounds that supposedly clear the mind and allow the chanter to have calm and peace. Now, we do get calm and peace, and it does clear our mind from prayer. But it's not through the repetitive sounds. This isn't what Jesus teaches us at all. Jesus teaches us that our prayer has a purpose, and we are to use it to communicate with God. We are speaking to the Creator of the universe. We are speaking to the Creator of all of us, you and I, not for our peace of mind, as it were, so much, but instead to help us align our desires with God. Again, go and read James in his letter in chapter 4. This is very important because this is one of the cruxes that many people have with God. "I prayed this and He didn't answer." Well, what were you asking for? What was your intent? What was your motivation? See, asking isn't enough. You do need to ask. If you don't ask, then you can't expect God to answer your prayer. But you have to ask with the right motives in mind as well. And again, read James 4. As Jesus moves into the actual prayer itself here in the Sermon on the Mount, notice that just before this, he says, "Pray then like this." Meaning that we're not required to pray exactly what He says. We can, but we're not required to. Instead, what we're supposed to do is have these ideas that He outlines in this prayer. We're supposed to have those ideas in our prayers. Jesus says, "Pray like this." He doesn't say, "Pray this exactly." Now, in the middle of the prayer, Jesus is going to say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Prayer to the Father is a daily business, according to Jesus. Not only is it a daily affair, but it is a daily affair of reliance. We look to God to supply us with food daily, just as Israel learned to do when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Every day we lift up our voices to God and spend time in prayer with Him, relying on Him. Now, I'm emphasizing this part of the prayer first because many people only pray on Sundays, or they only pray when their clergy lead them in prayer. And this is not what Jesus taught at all. Can you imagine only eating food one day a week? Give us this day our daily bread, Jesus says. Can you imagine eating food only when your religious leaders pray for you? Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Okay, fine. I will pray every day. What shall I pray? Well, start with this model which Jesus gives us. Now, again, you don't have to pray it exactly, but it outlines for us how prayer is desired from the Father, what it looks like, the subjects that He covers. And as you become more familiar with prayer, as you become more familiar with the Father in your prayers, as you become more confident, you can change the words, the language, put your own words and ideas in there into that prayer, but recognize that Jesus has shown us how to pray. And this is important because the Jews, they were busy praying when Jesus walked the earth. But the way they prayed wasn't the right way. Their prayers were ineffective. Their prayers didn't work. And there's a lot of people today, oh, God doesn't seem to be answering my prayer. Are you so certain? Are you so sure? Are you sure you're praying? Are you doing things the way God tells us to do things? Because we have a habit, as I said from the beginning, we have a habit of doing things our way instead of the Father's way. And if we're going to communicate with the Father, you know what we need to do? We need to learn how to communicate with the Father. And Jesus teaches us just that. So at the beginning of the prayer, Jesus says, our Father in heaven, not His Father, not my Father, our Father, all of our Father, the Creator of all, our Father is the one that we're talking to here. Hallowed be your name. The Father is to be honored. His name is holy. His name is separate from every other name. His name is above all other names. His name is for His usage only, and His name has authority above every other name. Any other name, His name is hallowed. Not my name, not your name, not our favorite heroes' names. Jesus is hallowed. The Father is hallowed. And not just His name, but also His kingdom. When we think of kingdoms, we usually think of a place, a land, a physical piece of dirt. Now, obviously, the Father, who is Spirit, He doesn't have a physical kingdom per se, but He has a spiritual one. And kingdoms need a ruler, which we have. Kingdoms need a law, which we have. And kingdoms need citizens, which we have. We are His kingdom. Now, make no mistake, I'm an American. I love this country. I love this kingdom. But God's kingdom comes first, Jesus teaches us. Even in the days of the Jews, in the days of the Romans, Jesus teaches God's kingdom comes first. God's kingdom supersedes any nation that you're going to find here on this planet. Of course, God's created this whole planet. He's created the nations. God's kingdom supersedes all of them. His kingdom come, His will or His law be done there and here. There being heaven, here being earth. We follow the law of God. We are citizens of God. We recognize His authority over any earthly authority. And so when God says we can or cannot do some things, that supersedes what our nation's laws may say. Our nation's laws may give us permission to do things that God doesn't give us permission to do, and therefore we cannot do those things. We need to adhere to the law of God. Now, this all shows us that we start our prayers with recognizing that God is our King and we are under His reign and under His rule. And then we get into the daily bread, the daily praying. But it is more than just that. It's also a recognition that God is our provider, as our Lord. He is the one who makes sure that we are fed. He is the one who makes sure that we have shelter. He is the one who makes sure that we are protected. He's our King, just as any king is so tasked. Now, this doesn't mean that we do nothing. The farmer, he looks to his king to provide food for him, but it is the farmer who plants and harvests the wheat. The villager looks to his king to protect him from marauding armies, but it is the villager who is signed up as a soldier in that army. It is the king. He is the one who makes sure that the farmer has crops and food. It is the king who makes sure that the enemy is kept from the villager's town, even when the villager's time in the army is finished. God's kingdom, God's laws, and we look to God to provide for us. And not just provision, but also forgiveness. Imagine if you will, we're coming up to tax time here real fast. Imagine, if you will, earthly kings forgiving our debts. All of them. Just wipe them away. We don't owe taxes. We don't owe fealty. We don't owe anything. You are forgiven everything that you owe your government. But they never do they? They cannot do that. They never can, because they need us to pay their debts. They need us to pay their bills so that they can continue to run their kingdom. God, however, he has no such issue, for his kingdom is greater than this. And so Jesus instructs us to forgive as we want to be forgiven ourselves. Remember, daily prayer, which means, of course, daily forgiveness. For this is a key function of God's kingdom, his forgiveness towards us, which only happens because Jesus died on the cross for us. Jesus, sent by the Father, the King, the Father wants to forgive us, so he sends the Son. Now, some people teach that we only need to forgive if the person who offends us comes to us in repentance. Now, this is not what Jesus and the Father have established. God set up forgiveness of sins for all of humanity from before the beginning of creation. You can read this in the book of Ephesians. It wasn't completed until Jesus died on the cross for us, but it was planned before creation, and Jesus knew this. And so all sins are forgiven through Jesus. The whole world's sins are forgiven already, right now. But because the sins are forgiven doesn't mean that the people receive that forgiveness. This is the hard part for people to grasp. Our sins are forgiven, but we don't receive that forgiveness until we receive it in the way in which the Father tells us to receive forgiveness. And part of that forgiveness is faith in Jesus. Part of that forgiveness is repenting. Part of that forgiveness is being immersed into Christ. Jesus teaches us here that a part of that forgiveness is based upon our forgiving others daily. Jesus even points out to us, after he's finished giving us the model prayer, that forgiveness from God is restricted to us if we restrict forgiveness to others. This is what Jesus tells us here in this section, and that's very important. If we want to be completely forgiven of all sin, of all trespass, you know what we need to be doing? We need to be forgiving people that trespass against us daily. Daily. Lastly, almost as an afterthought, Jesus includes the plea that the Father keep us from evil. Now, this verse is a little complex. Many people misunderstand it. God would never lead us into evil. That's not what Jesus is talking about. But he also doesn't stop us from committing evil. Think about when God went to Cain, as Cain was contemplating what to do with Abel and ends up eventually killing Abel. God warned Cain. He said, sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have mastery over you. But he didn't stop Cain. He knew what Cain was planning, but he didn't stop Cain. See, God doesn't stop us from committing evil. That's an error that most people make. We can pray to the Father. We can pray for escape. We can pray for deliverance. We can pray for providence. But to stop us, that's not going to happen. This part of our prayer to him is a plea to him, an appeal to him, to guide us away from our own habits to give into temptation. Instead, we want to be in his kingdom. We don't want to be in the kingdom of darkness. We don't want to be in the kingdom of Satan. We don't want to be in the kingdom of sin. And so instead we plead with the Father, don't let us go that route. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light. We want to keep your rules. We want to keep your laws. We want to stay in your kingdom. This is what Jesus teaches us about prayer. Finally, this. Prayer, when understood and used properly, is our most powerful tool that we have. It is a direct communication line to the Creator of all. And He is never too busy for us, for He is God. And our problems are never too small for Him, for He even knows how many hairs are on our head. Even we don't know how many hairs we have, but God does. But we have to understand, and we have to use prayer properly. Again, the Jews in Jesus' day, they prayed, but they didn't pray correctly. They were misusing the tool. And so they may have wondered, just why was God not answering? Why were we running into so many difficulties? Why are we at odds with God? Or why is God at odds with us? And in reality, it's because our prayer life is so completely and totally messed up. Jesus' teaching is an indictment of their poor understanding of prayer. Now, for today, there are still many people who don't understand prayer. And it's mostly because they simply do not listen to Jesus' teaching on prayer. Today, my prayer is that you will understand prayer better, that you will pray daily, and that you will turn to the Father in prayer and seek His will, seek His kingdom. And don't forget to forgive daily. Let me encourage you, follow Jesus. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the Scriptures today, and I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. I'd love to hear from you. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
Wonderful works. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, those wonderful words, yes, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, those wonderful words, yes, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, those wonderful words, yes, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, those wonderful words, yes, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, those wonderful words, yes, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, those wonderful words, yes, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, those wonderful words, yes, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Ooh.